It is a great Monday in that I am Louis Matheny and in the recording studio for our program, Local Matters, where we discuss local matters with people of great interest. And a person of great interest to me that I've met recently in my visits to Cookeville is a woman by the name of Lakeland Gordon. And Lakeland Gordon to me is the anti-millennial. And by that I say, I have heard more than enough people complain along the way, and I don't particularly like complaints without what I call immediate solutions. So the complaining I hear about genres or types of people, I have little tolerance for and tend to look for positive examples of people within those groups. So never heard the millennials till a couple of years ago, get a little tired of it. I recognize that there are millennials. I think Lakeland does as well. And as far as her age groups go, she sits squarely in the middle of those, but is doing some remarkable things in a way that make her, for those of you that would like to accuse her of being a millennial, you're going to have a hard time because I've got something to tell you and she's got something to tell you about what she does, at least in the way of work, that is both fascinating and will shatter the myth of the millennial. So Lakeland, let's start with the fact that you are a wardrobe supervisor for Tennessee Performing Arts Center.
Yes, so I work for the Nashville Repertory Theater, and I go backstage and put everybody's costumes on them, make sure that all the buttons are in the right places, and make sure that everybody is in the correct costume at the correct time to go on stage.
Now, I started out by saying Tennessee Performing Arts Center, and you said Tennessee Repertory Theater. Is Tennessee Performing Arts Center where the Tennessee Rep have all of their shows, or did
yes.
I make a mistake by saying Tennessee Performing Arts Center?
Yes, all of our shows are at TPAC, and so...
So that's great. So for listeners on a broader scale, because this is not only will be a live radio broadcast, it will become a podcast, so there will be people listening around the world, literally, to listen to a young woman talking about her work. So I had mentioned Tennessee Performing Arts Center, which is known as one of the best regional theaters in the country. For people that are Broadway musical fans, know that Broadway musicals tour and go to TPAC. But the theater company itself is something that I'm not aware of, and I'd love for you to tell me a little bit more about them.
So the Nashville Repertory Theater started out as the Tennessee Repertory Theater. And just recently, in the past couple of years, they swapped over to the Nashville Repertory Theater, name-wise. They put about 6 or 7 shows on a season. Plus, they have a couple playwriting series and different opportunities for people in the local Nashville area to get involved in the company. And this season we've done You're in Town the Musical, Pipeline, Every Brilliant Thing. We just finished Christmas Carol. This upcoming spring we'll have A Streetcar Named Desire and Mary Poppins both. And then we also have the Ingram New Works Festival, which is the playwriting festival I mentioned. And then they also have a Shakespeare in the summer.
And you have handled, and will you be handling, the supervision of wardrobes for all of those shows?
Yes.
That is quite an impressive resume already for somebody that's been there since about when?
We started in August. I started in August.
In August. And you already have this sort of resume under your belt, which would be the envy of many Broadway wardrobe supervisors that would love to be getting that kind of work there in New York City. And mm-hmm. you're doing it here in Tennessee. And one of the things that I think is quite amazing, I know people that are closer to my generation that will complain about millennials and say if they ever want to become actors, they're never going to be able to because, you know, in order to be an actor, you have to be actor/waiter or ballet dancer/waiter, or you have to be a set designer/waiter. You happen to be a wardrobe supervisor/waiter, but
yes.
in two separate cities and towns. So tell us a little bit about the fact that you work for one of the greatest old institutions in Cookeville called Spanky's, and then you are in Nashville. Is this correct? On a weekly basis, you are in two locations doing two different jobs that requires a lot of driving.
Yes. I moved back to Cookeville last year after I graduated, and I didn't have a job or any plan of what I was going to be doing. And then I got in contact with the Nashville Repertory Theater, and I was able to get a job through them. But at that point, I had already signed a lease here in Cookeville and already had a job at Spanky's. And so instead of bailing on my lease here and bailing on my job here and moving to Nashville where the rent's a little bit higher, I decided just to drive back and forth. And it's actually worked out really well so far. Yeah. I've really, really enjoyed it. The drive back and forth, I've been learning a lot because I just put YouTube on and go down into the deep depths of YouTube tutorials on many, many, many different things, from traveling to costume work to anything you can think of. But, you know, you just get lost in the in the YouTube abyss. And so it's been, and it's a nice way to get ready for the day in the mornings, and then also to detox from the day at the afternoons when I come back home. So,
you know, first of all, I haven't heard one complaint. I haven't heard a note of cynicism. I'm hearing nothing but enthusiasm, self-assurance, and clarity about what it is you're doing in the present moment and in the future. And that's something I think should be commended and quite fine, quite remarkable. You may or may not know that I moved to New York City when I was 23 years old at age 84, without a dollar to my name, slept in Spanish Harlem on a wooden floor, no furniture, no sheet, no pillow. And worked at a restaurant, hosting a restaurant. And I'd never worked in restaurants before, so I was on my way to being an actor. As you know, I worked on stage and did commercials. But so to me, that's just how it's done. And anybody that would complain about that, you would suddenly realize, oh, they moved back to whatever town that they were from. So you're following in the footsteps of what many people did that was sort of built into their DNA, and you seem to have that, which is just kind of remarkable. And do you have any interest, by the way, in do you see yourself as going on to Broadway? Do you see yourself going on to Europe? Do you see yourself going on to LA? Or is it right now you love what you're doing and you're not really planning a future right now?
Well, I'm not really planning anything right now. I'm enjoying learning new things and just enjoying this company in general. I think, of course, everybody really would love to go to Broadway or love to go to LA or Europe or anywhere. But also, I really like the closeness that the regional theater has. That, you know, you can meet people in many different companies. There's multiple companies in Nashville that I've met people through the Repertory Theater that I haven't, that I wouldn't have been able to meet otherwise. The community up there is really, really nice.
You know, so many people that do talk about going to New York City and to Broadway, by the way, and I've had many people come to me over the years, you know, I've been many years that I've lived in New York City and now Chicago, that'll say, I want to be just like you. I'm going to do what you did. And I'll look at them and think to myself personally, without saying them, you'll never be able to. I recognize your work ethic says to you that you're not willing to put in the work. When I look at you, you know, one of the reasons I immediately latched on to you at Spanky's and started having these conversations with you is I recognize a camaraderie that all artists have, the time you have to put in, the work it takes to get there. You know, I made the mistake when I first moved to New York City of fluffing up my resume and making stuff up. I actually put on my resume that I'd gone to UC Berkeley to study theater, and I got a call from the head of casting at NBC, and he called out the lie immediately. He broke it down in ways that I didn't know he could, and that's mostly because he lived in San Francisco for years. So you're doing what has been suggested by many people, you know, get in there and do the work and build a reputation by, you know, long months and works, years of experience working at what it is that you do that you love. And along the way, of course, you know, I've made the mistake in saying to you, I keep calling you costume designer or designer, but you also do design costumes as well. That you might say is something you could take later and work on as a career, but you have a passion for designing costumes, yes. Visualizing and putting things together. The creative process is similar for many, but for you, how does it happen?
Well, I have actually not designed anything professionally yet, but while I was in school, I designed a couple of different shows for classroom settings and that sort of thing. So for me, I really search through Pinterest to get inspiration.
Great.
Pinterest is my number one source of inspiration, probably. And then through there, I find color inspiration, style inspiration, body type inspiration, pretty much all of my inspiration comes through Pinterest.
That's great. Boards. That's great. You know, years ago before Pinterest, those of us who had a passion about something would have gone to the library and picked up a book and studied. But, you know, artist after artist has found inspiration of other artists. The greatest artists of all time, some of the great master painters that came to us thousands of years ago were painting in a similar fashion to the other or studying what each other did. So once again, I think you're on the right path when it comes to doing that. Lakeland Gordon, who is wardrobe supervisor at Tennessee Performing Arts Center, and I are talking about several of her passions, including that which is her profession or part-time profession because she is wardrobe supervisor and waiter, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we'd also like to hear what our sponsors have to say because they make this great show possible. We'll take a listen. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We are back on Local Matters with a person that I very much admire by the name of Lakeland Gordon. And Lakeland Gordon is a wardrobe supervisor at Tennessee Performing Arts Center in Nashville, along with waiting tables at a restaurant about an hour east of there in my hometown, at least, of Cookeville, Tennessee, and following in the footsteps of all the great creative talent that has gone before her for centuries before. Actor/waiter, ballet dancer/waiter, set designer/waiter, and she's doing that all in the middle of a period of time in history in which people are accusing millennials of being people that don't want to work and have no idea what it takes and don't have their future squarely in hand. And Lakeland happens to have her future squarely in hand in a way that I've rarely seen in other people. And whatever the future holds for you, I think, Lakeland, it's going to be great. And we were talking just before we took a break to listen to our sponsors about your love of costume design. But one of the things that you mentioned, you said you've never designed something professionally, and yet you have designed costumes, right?
Yes.
And so the creative process for you starts with taking interest from places like Pinterest. And then may I ask, do you draw next?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I have recently discovered a love of charcoal and pastel charcoals. So I've really started using those in my design and my just regular drawing life, but then also in designing as well. It's just a lot easier to work with for me than pencil, and since it is a little messier, it's a lot less, it's a lot easier for me to ignore mistakes or things that I would consider mistakes, because there's a lot more mess and it doesn't have to be as perfect for
me. Great.
So
I think the pursuit of perfection with a lot of people, both in work and life and relationships, can be their downfall. So I love that you're choosing charcoal. It's soft. It can smudge. It can, you can almost erase it if you want to.
Yeah.
But the imperfection in the actual object itself, the piece of charcoal, is kind of great and speaks to the fact that you're allowing yourself to make what other people call mistakes. As a children's book writer and illustrator, I'll often visit schools and talk to children, and they'll say, how do you draw kids' books? And I'll say, first of all, buy a cheap sketch pad and buy a pen only, not a pencil. Draw everything in pen and then just turn the page and draw it again if you don't like what you see on the page. Draw about 10 and then move on to another drawing. You know, and that way you're not finding yourself, you know, eventually if you're working in pencil on paper, you're going to erase a hole in a paper trying to go for perfection. So love that you're doing charcoal. You know, I think it's great.
Yeah.
So, and one of the other things I never thought about, you know, when it comes to costume design is, does a person need an ability to be a seamstress? And it's not necessarily true if you can find a seamstress designed for you, but if you have the ability as a seamstress, you have what is a classic trade that's been around as long as humans have traded labor in exchange for you know, money. So you also have the ability to work as a seamstress. Is that right?
Yes. So I had never sewn anything in my life until I went to college. And I initially went pursuing stage management and had no interest in costuming at all. And my costume professor pretty much stole me away immediately as soon as I joined that class, and kept bringing me up to the costume room and making me wardrobe supervisor or design assistant or just whatever she could get me doing. And I very quickly learned how to sew and very quickly fell in love with it. And it has become something I never, ever, ever imagined that I would be doing in my life.
Right.
But I do love doing it. So it's interesting how you can never do something and then find a love in it that you never would have imagined.
Right. I'm hearing a lot of love. See, again, a lot of enthusiasm and love. So far, you know, and the other thing that's fascinating is, you know, you're not a wardrobe assistant. The classic millennial to a lot of people could only have the capacity to be assisting somebody that would have to be supervising them. You're a wardrobe supervisor.
Yes.
I'm sure you have somebody in a supervisory capacity or somebody that reviews your performance, but you are a wardrobe supervisor. You have the capacity to design costumes, and you have the capacity to make those costumes through your seamstress skills. So by the time you get to wherever it is you are planning to go, and it sounds like you don't have a particular plan, but if you were to come to Broadway, I can tell you right now, they would snatch you up in a heartbeat and get you into a position there, you know. So
I would love that.
Favorite Broadway shows have you seen?
Oh, yes. Wicked is probably my favorite.
For costumes or for just the story?
General,
okay.
In general. I think for costumes, I recently saw SpongeBob the Musical, and that show was just brilliantly put together costume-wise, as well as just in general, the music and the acting and the set design was all, and the costume design as well, was all just brilliantly put together for a show that everybody knows. And you know, you would think it would be silly and dumb, but it was actually very, very well put together. You know, the costumes were fun enough that you knew what you were watching, but also practical in practical enough for an actor to wear, as well as the set design was very, you knew what you were looking at, even if it wasn't quite exactly, you know, the rock that you were thinking of Patrick's house. You know, it wasn't physically an actual rock, but you know, it was close enough.
Did they combine humans with elements of what we would see in the cartoon? Is that the idea? I haven't seen it, so I'm curious. Yeah.
Yes, it's very, very cute. I know that they did a live version of it that they produced on Nickelodeon. So I don't know. You could probably look it up and find it now to watch
it. Right. Yeah.
But And then also I saw Dear Evan Hansen recently, and that one was also, it's interesting to see the difference costume-wise in SpongeBob and Dear Evan Hansen, and even Wicked, because the amount, you know, Dear Evan Hansen is a physical, like, right now in this moment, 2019, 2020, they're wearing things that we would be wearing on a daily basis, whereas Wicked and SpongeBob are more fun and fantasy-like.
Right.
But I think SpongeBob does a really good job of taking, like, everyday clothing and making it more fantastical.
I was going to say fantastical. Fantasy-like.
Yes.
However we'd like to say it, sure. No, it's, I get what you're saying, but I feel in some ways what CGI has done to a lot of us in film has killed the magic that many of us found in handmade costumes of great old films, you know.
And yeah.
I haven't met a person yet that says, I hate The Wizard of Oz, the movie. And I don't know where they are, if they're there. I hope I never have a conversation with them. But to this day, when you look at those costumes, which are made by hand, you know, when you look at the moment that they're climbing up to the witch's castle and they're holding onto the lion's tail, and you actually do see a little box in the back of his derriere that they had to put on to add so that the costume wouldn't rip that the tail was attached to. In older versions of the film where you can see the fishing wire pulling the tail back and forth as it swings, which has been erased digitally. But the costumes themselves, the Tin Man, all of that stuff made by hand, the silver paint on the face, all of that. And then you compare that to, say, the movie Cats. Now, whether or not you like the Broadway show Cats when it was on Broadway, what a grave disappointment, a distraction, and a bit of an eyesore it was to look at these computer-generated costumes on these people, or these computer-generated cats, when they could have had somebody like you come in and create something that would have had people stupefied, you know, and more magical for the eye to see. So
I think with that movie, it's even more of an eyesore for me, because I was able to go at TPAC recently when Cats was there and talk with their wardrobe supervisor and look at the costumes that they have for the actual stage show that are beautifully made and wonderfully put together, and know that they had this already put together for them, and then they still chose to go with animated costumes for CGI.
Wow.
It's a very strange concept to me that that's what they chose.
I'm glad to hear somebody your age, if you'll forgive me for repeating this business, you know, it's really great to hear millennials say that was a disappointment, you know. Mm-hmm. I find it disappointing when I talk to somebody who's so many years young and ask them about a movie which happened to be filmed during an era in Hollywood in which we filmed in black and white. And they immediately snap of a finger, say, oh, I don't watch black and white. Just dismiss it. I don't watch black and white. And all the great Frank Capra films and all the great black and white films that had great costumes as well. You know, Victorian era, Charles Dickens stories, you know, that kind of thing. Favorite costume you've helped or wardrobe, a show that you've been a part of? Can you name one in particular, or would you really even want to?
Well, I was the assistant designer for Peter and the Starcatcher a few years ago while I was still in school, and that one was a lot of fun to help put together. And then I also, for Christmas Carol, I put together a skirt that we did, and it was the first Victorian piece that I ever made. So I was very proud of that one.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I watched a documentary about Gone with the Wind and the fact that they talked about the hoop dresses that the women had to wear for this movie. And the younger women especially were complaining a bit about the discomfort of the fact that they had two or three or four layers of petticoats on, and said, why is this necessary? Nobody's going to see these. And the director said, because I want you to feel exactly like the people of that era felt, you know. And yes. These things must have been so heavy and so, you know, uncomfortable. So, and a job that you have to do that must be difficult is in putting together costumes or helping supervise a wardrobe. It's one that is flexible, moves, breathes easy, but creates magic, you know, and that's kind of a difficult line to balance yourself on. Well, I've always been fascinated by your work. I've always wanted to have you to talk with you on local matters. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's been my pleasure to have Lakeland Gordon on, who's wardrobe supervisor for Tennessee Performing Arts Center, and divides her time by supporting that work with doing waitress work at a local restaurant here in Cookeville called Spanky's, and is following in the footsteps of some of the greatest people in performing arts that I've ever known. A great pleasure. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Lewis.